It's the fourth year of the Rainforest Festival, which features a mix of activities, workshops, and presentations. Each year, the festival includes some prominent speakers from Alaska, the Pacific Northwest, and elsewhere. One of this year's keynote speakers is Dr. Dominic De La Sala, who is the chief scientist and president of the GEOS Institute in Ashland, Oregon.
The GEOS Institute is a nonprofit conservation group that uses science to help people prepare, predict, and reduce the impacts of climate change.
De La Sala is editor of the 2011 book Temperate and Boreal Rainforests of the World, Ecology and Conservation. His presentation in Petersburg is titled The Forgotten Rainforests. He says the Tongass is one such forgotten forest.
It is, in the sense that these are rainforests that occur around the globe that don't get the kind of recognition that tropical rainforests do. When folks think about rainforests, what comes to mind are the world's tropics, like in South America and Africa, where there are all kinds of really cool birds and primates. And that's what really comes to mind when you think about a rainforest. But what is really not getting the kind of recognition that a rainforest deserves is our rainforest at home. And those are right here in our backyards and up in Alaska, where we've got the coastal influences that allow those forests to have some of the characteristics that you would see in a rainforest anywhere in the world.
And De La Sala says the Tongass is a unique temperate rainforest and that it's still relatively intact compared with other forests that have been more heavily logged and eroded.
Although there is those disturbances in the Tongass, clearly, but that rainforest is very unique because there are still large blocks of roadless areas that you don't see in other parts of the world, like in Europe, which has devastated its rainforest centuries ago. And the Tongass also has very large trees that live for a long time, like the giant Sitka spruce. And those trees are really important not only as wildlife habitat, but they cleanse the air we breathe. They soak up a lot of the carbon dioxide pollutants that we put in the atmosphere. They provide shading for fish. And they give us a lot of benefits that we're seeing dwindling around the globe, whether we're in temperate or tropical rainforests. These places are really shrinking.
De La Sala says his Petersburg talk at 7 Thursday night in the Council Chambers will be a celebration of rainforests from around the globe. He'll also lead a field trip on the Sandy Beach Trail Friday morning at 9:30. While De La Sala will focus on the broader story, other speakers focus on some of the particular flora and fauna in the Tongass. Take flying squirrels, for example. That's Dr. Elizabeth Flaherty's area of expertise. Flaherty is a professional lecturer at the University of Wyoming.
Well, I've been working in Southeast Alaska since 2003, and I did my dissertation research on Prince of Wales Island, looking at the effects of broad-scale timber harvest on how the northern flying squirrel population essentially disperses across portions of the island. So as juveniles get older and have to leave the nest, they need to move and find new home ranges, which means they have to move across areas that have been impacted by timber harvest.
Flaherty's field experiments included looking at how a squirrel in a clear-cut or second-growth stand would move towards the nearest old growth. She captured the nocturnal animals and fitted their backs with little spools that leave a trail of thread that she could track when they were released.
In clear-cuts, flying squirrels paused a lot when they were moving, so they would move and pause. And that was likely because it's a really open habitat, and so the likelihood that there are predators that can see them pretty easily is much higher. So it takes them a lot longer to move across those habitats. And at distances over about 100 meters, they had a really hard time seeing that old growth edge and moving directly towards it. So they would do lots of circles and have a very convoluted path towards the edge. In second growth stands, their path was actually even more convoluted. So even at 25 meters from the nearest edge in a second row stand, the flying squirrels didn't know where they were.
Flaherty will give a brown bag talk at noon in the council chambers on Saturday, and she'll lead a field trip in flying squirrel habitat at 1. Meanwhile, artist Andy Trams will share her talents in two workshops during the festival and another one the following weekend. Trams is from California, but also spent many years in Alaska. Her work's widely exhibited, and she's known for her field journal books that combine writing and painting.
My art interests have always had to do with working outdoors. So I have kept field journals all my life and done various kinds of work in connection to the field work that I would do in journals. So At different times, I did things like scientific illustration. I did visitor center displays, brochures, maps, all kinds of stuff like that.
Trams has taught for several institutions, including San Francisco Center for the Book, San Francisco State University, and Sitka Center for Art and Ecology. She mostly paints in watercolor because it's light and she can take it outdoors, which is where she does her work.
Well, it's all very observation-based work. It's spontaneous. I bring my tools and toys with me into the forest. I sit on the ground. I work very directly without a plan. I draw, I paint, and I write depending on what mood I'm in. The main point for me is to make imagery that is in direct connection with my experience in various wild forests.
One of Tram's ongoing projects is called In Forests.
This is a project I started about a decade ago, and it's a series of unique, one-of-a-kind artist books. They're all the same size and shape, and they're all put together with original paintings and drawings and writing that I have been doing over the years in wild forests in various parts of the West. This year is the International Year of the Forest, and Faith Duncan in Ketchikan with the Forest Service found out about the project I was doing, and that was how I came to be part of the Rainforest Festival here.
Trams has an art workshop scheduled for kids and adults on Saturday at 10 in Sandy Beach Park, Shelter 1. She'll give another workshop focused on painting lichens and mosses of the Tongass later that day at 3 in the same place. Trams will also be working in the schools this month, and she'll offer another public workshop called Watercolors in the Wild Forest on Saturday the 17th. For details on all the different presenters and activities during this week's Tongass Rainforest Festival, you can visit www.tongassrainforestfestival.org. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.